here today with Ian and Rachel. Ian is my client, but for the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, I will not mention their surnames. And Ian kindly enabled me to have a chat with him about how it is to care for a partner who suffers from dementia. So we've got so many things to talk about, Ian, but perhaps now I've introduced you, would you give us an insight to your daily routine life? What is it like?
At this point, it is now quite difficult, although I make light of it. It's the only way of getting through it. The worst part of it at this juncture for me is the incontinence. You get no help from anybody about it. And so I start my day, and I've learned how to do this myself, by taking Rachel to the bathroom, and that has cured the problem 90% of the time. But that is the big problem. The fact that Rachel talks rubbish is not new to me. She always has. I could put up with her. It is that sort of element that certain dedicated people in the caring professions can look after. I've learned to bear with it, but that is my big problem.
It's amazing what you do. How did you prepare? Well, you knew it was coming, but how did you prepare yourself?
The biggest problem, Jakob, was when it was beginning, I didn't recognize it. Because she was the most practical, helpful, useful girl you can imagine. You know, she did the finances, she did everything. I had to learn all those. Anyhow, I learned them, and the big room, I learned how to look after the money too. That was very nice. That was the big problem when we didn't recognize it, because I wondered what the hell was going wrong with her. She lost her caring gene, I should think, about 7 years ago. You know, I had flu, and she was usually a lovely girl, gave me a large whiskey, made me feel better. And I said, oh God, Rachel, I got her. And she brought me a glass of water with a tomato, a whole unpeeled tomato. I should have known then there was a problem.
Because what I have experienced in my practice is that it is normally the person suffering with dementia who is in denial, not their partner. But in your case, you only found out when you received the a glass of water with a tomato in it.
Exactly, yes, yeah. It took me a long time to pick up on it. It was, Jakob, disguised by the fact that the doctors didn't pick up on. Rachel started to drink. We're always respected and enjoy drink, but Rachel went wild with it. Mm. She went to the doctor about it because she was worried about it. They didn't recognize she was drinking because she couldn't do the things she used to be able to do, and she was disguising it.
So she got frustrated herself.
Yes.
And she turned to drink.
Yes.
To deal with her frustration.
Yes.
You see, I'm glad we've arranged this, because this is something which I learned from a lot just talking to you. Okay, and how did you resolve that? She's not drinking now.
No.
Something must have happened to come to realization.
Well, we resolved it because I took the responsibilities away from her which were worrying her.
I see.
Good question, Jakob. That's brought the truth out. That's what it was. She did the banking, she did the insurance, she did the VAT, she did this, she did that. And she did the packing when we went away on holiday, she arranged that. And suddenly she couldn't do it. And one day my sister said, well, why don't you do it, Ian? And when I started to do that, Rachel stopped drinking, But of course, the dementia didn't go away.
Of course, the dementia didn't go away, but you removed the problem. You removed the reason for her frustration.
Yes, yes, yes. And now we've got a slightly different problem. I think she is becoming reliant on me, on Sharon, on Rachel. And I don't know how you sort that one out. The jury is out on that. But that does happen. They say about alcoholics, they go into an institution, they don't come out because they become institutionalized. In her minor way, Rachel, with her dementia, is being looked after, and she knows that I will sort it, or Sharon will sort it, or Sister Sue's sorting it now.
Okay. But, I mean, you're here to look after your wife.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about people who don't have this luxury of having a partner when they suffer with dementia. But what do you do to protect yourself? How do you do to maintain your own quality of life?
We can't go on holiday, which is rather unfortunate, but we go to the Surrey Hills twice or three times a week, and I walk. Mm-hmm. That is good. I am very.
And Rachel, she walks with you?
She can't. Sometimes she walks a bit, but she just loves to be driven out there. This happens to older people. I've heard from a long time ago. They just like to be driven, so we go. So she enjoys that. So what do I do? Well, I've got studio, which I'm bringing back to life. I've got plenty of things to keep my brain going, and there is no problem about that at all. No.
Of course not.
But some people may have a problem with it, you know, but I don't. I'm appreciative of the fact that I've got a nice home, and very important thing to say to people. If I was in this position and I hadn't got the finance, that would be very difficult.
That is an important factor.
It's an essential factor.
You're in a fortunate position, and therefore Rachel is in a fortunate position.
Yes.
So you can choose to care for her or pay for care if it comes to it.
Yes.
But as you rightly say, not everyone is able to make these choices.
No, absolutely not. No. So I'm blessed on that one. I mean it, you know. We weren't all, you know, we were like the rest of the mob. It was only that when we paid our mortgages off, that, and Rachel got a good pension that had matured from Harrods from a long time ago, that we realised that we had got sufficient money. We were well off, as they used to say. And I think it's terribly fortunate that I've got that behind me, because the frustration otherwise would have been too great.
And I like your positive approach to it and how you maintain your own head above the water. So what about Rachel? What does she do in her activities to keep herself entertained?
Right, we're focusing on that, but I don't know what the answer is. She loves to be with me, and she loves to be with people. You know, she sparkled when you two were here.
Yes.
You know, but we can't take her out because we do it, I'm stopping it. Goes into a restaurant and she starts. She has something, and she wants to get up, walk around. Well, that's no good for the restaurant, and it's embarrassing. So that is a problem. She loves to listen to music, but you can't listen to music all the time. And it's classical music. It's a funny thing, but classical music seems to be universal.
Did she used to play an instrument?
No, she didn't, but she's technically, I think she played on piano, but I'm not technically, but she and I have always loved great music, and we've always shared it. I've only got to put on Mahler's Fifth, and she's away. Sounds very sophisticated, I know, but it's just that we do pick up on certain classical things that we like. The important thing, what she does with me, is when she's not pestering me in the kitchen when I'm trying to cook for her. But
Never did it.
in the evenings, we've got a great library of great films upstairs. In the evening, we do that again, and she will watch a good film with me, and she will know if it's not a good one, and get agitated. But maybe I'm being a bit optimistic. I think she just likes sitting next to me, watching something, you know. Yeah, I can't think I'd put it any bit clearer than that. You're bringing out the man in me.
I thought our discussion is going to be a lot about Rachel, but also about you and about how you are able to cope with the situation. But you seem to be doing just fine, just doing what you have to do, right?
Exactly,
But some people will listen to us, and hopefully they will take something positive, which could perhaps bring us to another point. You are in this very situation, and luckily you are able to provide this care to your wife. If you were unable to do so, it would be a lot worse, and no doubt it would be. But if now you've got this experience, imagine somebody is about to face or facing something similar you have. What would you recommend, advice? What are your sort of discoveries which you made in the in on your journey in caring for your wife in the past couple of years?
But to accept you are a carer, and there are responsibilities that go with it, and you have to do things that you didn't think you would like, such as the incontinence question, and that's a big problem, I should think, for a lot of people. But you can handle it, you've got to face it, and you can manage it. That is a big one for me. But I think on the much more positive side, and this goes against the sort of advertisements that the Alzheimer's Society are giving out, don't give an unglamorous image of it. Sparkle it up a bit. You know, she was having fun then, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't think it's the end of the world at all. It isn't. You carry on. You know, I've discovered things. Because Rachel can't cook, I can now cook, so that's a pleasure for me, if you know what I mean. So all these sort of things come together if you just accept that it's a downhill process, and keep in contact with your friends, because most of your friends have got parents or who know all about it. I'm afraid I have to say that the NHS has not been a great help to us. They don't have that freedom to be caring, you know, of your own time. They're there if you're in deep distress, but on a day-to-day basis, it's your friends who are there. If you've got a good carer like Sharon, that's it. So I hope with that muddled reply, I would just say that it's amazing what you can do when you have to do, and you can do it, and it's important to keep her happy, and it's important to keep up appearances too. So you don't look like a down and out somebody who can't manage affairs. I'll leave it there, Jacob.
Well,
Otherwise.
you clearly can manage affairs. So, Sharon is a carer who helps you out on a daily basis, is that so?
You're 7 hours a week, actually, or 10 hours a week. Yeah.
Okay, so is it a bit every day, or she comes for an hour or so?
She comes 3 days a week for 3 hours.
Okay. And you are in that fortunate situation that you can afford the additional help.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
And I take the attitude that the money I give to her is a great deal better than the 100,000 she'd give to a care home. But they do put you in a difficult position.
Plus, you've got your wife for who you love and
Oh,
care for at home.
absolutely. And I can communicate it with her, Jacob. She was communicating with
Yes.
Ben. She can't say what she wants to say, but she can communicate with us and she can tease me and laugh. So she's still there. No, I wouldn't put her in a home.
Do you understand what she is communicating?
That is a difficulty. No, I don't. I often say to her, she says this, I say, give me a subject. What are you talking about? She can't. So she think he is over there. I say, well, who is he? And she can't tell that.
And in discussing this situations with Rachel, do you is that a way of you understanding whether she may be referring to some memories which would be more on long term, those from her childhood perhaps? So mind you, probably despite this being an area of law which we specialize in, you've got the first-hand experience, so I'd like to learn from you. So,
So,
are there any long-term memories you can identify and discuss with Rachel?
not particularly, but there are certain things that upset her immediately. She doesn't realize her father died.
Okay.
And she gets upset if I mention
Okay. But perhaps
it.
don't mention it then.
But don't think the long-term memory is much better, Jacob, than the short-term memory.
It's often the case, but of
It
course
is.
you've
Yeah,
got a,
they.
again, a first-hand experience.
I think was scientifically, as it were, they all say it's the short-term memory. The long-term memory isn't very good at all. Not at all.
Okay. I think that what we've spoken about today, it's certainly it's been inspiring for me.
Thank you,
And
Jacob.
I'm so grateful that you have given me the time this afternoon. And I will certainly let you know when this gets published. I'd like to ask everyone in our firm perhaps to listen to our little chat so they actually have some insight into what it is and how it is like to be caring for a partner with dementia. So, I have been Jakob Gökhan and I have had Ian here with me today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob.